you know, 2020, I worked a lot of nights and, you know, listened to the RVO podcast a lot and stuff. And so it was weird. Like, I kind of like visualized it before it even existed, actually. Like, and so I kind of manifested it. And then it came up and Corey picks me and I'm like, ooh, that's a big dollar. And I've always paid for mentorship and stuff, but it was, you know, it's like,
It's a decent.
But then I was also like, I bet on me.
Real business owner. Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kilo G.
What's up, everybody?
Special, 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 special guest for you guys today. Our boy, Brent Knott, Design It Wraps, flew all the way out here from Florida to lace us up and make the walls look pretty at the office. Dude, you did an incredible job.
Thank you.
Brought Riley out. He did an incredible job. He's also one of the members of the RBO Mastermind. I want to talk a little bit about masterminds and groups because we were talking about that a little bit yesterday. But before we start jumping into that, I want you to tell them a little bit about kind of your journey into entrepreneurship because it's kind of a unique story with the individual that kind of took you under his wing, dude.
Yeah, I mean, so basically at 23, me and my wife were working for a guy that wasn't somebody that I really wanted to work under. And I was like, man, this guy, you know.
Were you doing the same thing that you're doing now?
No, we were doing motorsports. So we had car shows, drifting, a little bit of everything, autocross. And we were traveling around 13 states. And the guy was having me, like, you know, forge insurance documents and stuff like that because I was a designer. Yeah. And I knew better than to do it. And I actually wrote him a letter whenever I sent him the document for – this particular document. And I said, I'm only doing this because I have to pay my rent. And so at that point I was done. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I'm out of here as soon as I can. So we picked up two wrap jobs in Florida through a friend of mine that we met doing the motorsports. So you know,
that was like a side gig or whatever. You're like, I got to start making money somehow.
I just wrapped my car. I got bored one day and I didn't like the paint job and I couldn't afford. It's the typical phone call that we get now, which annoys us. But
I
wanted to change my paint job. So I wrapped my car because it's cheaper, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But so I wrapped my car, then I wrapped another guy's car and then went straight to Porsches. And so we wrapped two Porsches for a guy down in Jacksonville, Florida. And he
was this an individual that you had like a connection with connection. Or like how did he find you as this new individual that's only wrapped a couple cars?
His employee worked or is who I knew.
Okay.
So that employee's name was Pablo. And so Pablo connected us. He needed to rewrap his car. And so we came in, literally had all my possessions in a Miata, and which wasn't a lot of possessions.
Well, you can't have a lot of possessions if every possession is in a Miata, bro. There's not like a whole lot of square footage in there.
That was the easiest move I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
But it was so tight that I actually had to pack clothes in my microwave.
Was this all in Florida?
I was in Rock Hill, South Carolina at the time.
Okay.
So we came down. We lived at a Days Inn hotel for 30 days, and because the guy kept giving me cars. It took me about 2 weeks a car at the time. And so I had two cars right out the gate, and I was like, okay, well, this is like $5,000. That's a lot of money. Now I can figure out what I'm going to do with my life kind of thing.
You're like, I'm rich.
That was
I went from zero to $5,000. It feels like you're doing something. Yeah. Well,
compared to my pay at the other guy's place, it was a lot. And so the whole time I was working with him, he was profiling me. He was asking me weird questions like, what would you do at dinner? Like, if the steak was like just some weird stuff.
If the steak was cold like or not cooked or the way you want, how would you react? What was the purpose of it?
He's just trying to figure out what my character was like.
Mm.
He's huge into like psychoanalysis and stuff. And so he was kind of figuring me out, like without me doing a literal disc assessment, he was just asking me questions on based
I've
on.
I've never heard of that.
Big in it.
Yeah.
And so he's a master salesman. So, I mean, he just reads people well.
Yeah.
And so basically kind of we did two cars, and I think he was like, hey, like basically it was fire sale because I was wrapping these things for way too cheap. And so he had two more guys come in. I think I wrapped a total of six cars for him. And then finally he's like, hey, you know, what do you plan on doing in life? And I was like, I don't know. I'll figure it out. And so he's like, okay, well, do you know how to run a budget? I was like, what's that? Like, you know, do you know how to manage a company at all? And I was like, I'm just a worker bee. And so he's like, well, that's the problem in this world. Nobody wants to teach or give anybody information, but then they also say, woe is me, I can't find any good help.
That's true. That's true. And nobody wants to invest time and effort. They just want to, where's it at? Let's recruit the good help and have it today so that we can get results, right?
Yeah. So he was like, okay, cool. Build me a business model. I was like, okay. He went, raced it, rode Atlanta, comes back. I give him his paperwork that I studied how to do on YouTube for about 4 hours. And he's like, that's not a business model. That's a bunch of buns, but there's no meat in there. Like, so coached me up, told me to do it again. I was like, man, defeated. So went out and did it again. He's like, nah, still nothing there. I said, he goes, but I'll teach you how to do business.
Were you staying in the hotel this whole time during that?
By the way, I did not know that there was month rate. Yeah. So I paid day rate the whole time.
Shit. Oh.
So you're already selling your services way too cheap. You're paying the day rate, not the month rate, you know. But did you expect to be out there for a month, really, right?
It just kept coming.
It just kept coming and coming, and so you were just kind of doing it as things unfolded, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so once we did that, he was like, okay, well, what do you feel that your sweat is to my money? I was like, I don't know what you mean. He's like, if we were to go into a business together, what percentage would I have and what percentage would you have?
This guy's trying to drag you to success at this point. I don't know a budget, make a plan.
I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was dumb and naive and all my time was in video games, like frankly. And so I gave him 70% of the company. And so it was pretty, you know, come to find out years later, that was a pretty bad evaluation.
Maybe now looking back on it, but the mentorship, you know, you have to put some value on that, right? Like, well, if you'd look at the equity of the business, that's a little different.
Fortunately, in my case, it ended up working out at the end of the story, but, you know, so we split up the company, 70-30. He asked me what I needed to live. So, I mean, he's literally just asking me the whole time. Like, I had full control.
Were you wondering what the hell is going on right now? Like,
my wife was like, this guy's genius. Like, there's no way.
Yeah, it's like, too good to be true almost. Like, it's like a once in a lifetime type thing. It doesn't happen to people, right?
So, his question, though, this whole time he's done all this like brain stuff on me, right? And I can kind of tell he's like, but he said very specifically, how much money do you need to live?
Yeah.
So I did my math. I need $15,000 to live. That was
for the year.
Yeah, I have no debt. I was gonna live with his crew chief, $500 a month, all expenses paid. So $15,000 was great.
Yeah,
and so
give me $15,000 and some video games at that point, right? And a car to wrap every so often.
So that was my salary, which I had full control over. I had to set up, and so he goes, all right, I'll handle all the stuff on the back end.
How long ago was all this?
2013.
2013.
Yeah, so nine years.
Okay.
And so he set up the entity. I mean, he taught me a lot, too. Like, when we signed our partnership agreement, like, he actually quizzed me on it. He made me read it, like, 15 times.
Mm.
He goes, you don't just sign paperwork.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is really badass.
Even though he was in full control and all that stuff, and I trusted him, he still made sure to, like, not lead me down any kind of wrong path.
Mm.
And so
Even though you probably didn't know what you were reading at that point, you're like, I'll read it, but I don't know. Yeah, I'll read it again and again. I didn't know what a budget was last week, bro. How am I supposed to know what a contract says?
Literally my first day that we bought all the equipment. So I had no debt as a starting of a company.
What was that investment like? Like a 50 grand 30, or
it was 35.
Okay.
So his total was like 50.
Really, yeah.
With me and the equipment.
Yeah.
And he already had the facilitation of the space. And so day one, I get the equipment in and I ruined his floor with ink.
Mm.
The ink purged through the printer and the valve was open and it poured all over his floor. And I thought I was fired day one. I was like, oh my God. He didn't even, he's like, oh, that's not good. I was like, no, it's not. And that was it.
Yeah.
He already, to that, I beat myself up bad enough on that. So he never fussed at me for it.
Wow.
Tiles are still ruined to this day.
How old was he at this time? Like, is he 60? He was 60 at the time when all this was going down. Okay. Yeah. A little older, a little more patient, right?
Yeah. And so we did a total of 7 years in business together. Year three, I think he wanted me to buy him out because the whole time, like, you know, in hindsight, he kept saying, like, you know, hey, like, you should look at buying me out because this will change your life. He was basically saying, I don't need the money that this is kicking off. It wasn't much.
Yeah, it's pennies to me. Yeah.
But, you know, this could do a lot for you. But my credit wasn't good enough. So he helped me build my credit. We did a secure credit card and all that good stuff. And so finally, like year seven, when I got browsed, actually year five, I almost lost it because I wasn't doing my spreadsheets. He made me do custom spreadsheets on every job.
And so, just so that you knew exactly down to the penny of what the profit was? Or
we weren't doing post-sale analysis, but more so for just the estimate.
Okay.
And so what is your cost of goods? What is this? What is your projected labor, et cetera?
Yeah.
And so with wraps, I was like, I don't need to do this. Like, I've done this so many times. They're all the same. I know what my time is. So, like, I just stopped doing it. And then we went and sold, like, some, like, $20,000, $30,000 wrap job for the Tea Party of Jacksonville. And he was kind of find out paying for it. So he's like, hey, let's see that spreadsheet so I can see what we can donate. It's like, I don't have it. And he literally both fists on the table. He's like, this is Harvard level stuff. If you're not going to listen to me, I'm wasting my time. I will dissolve this entity right now and you can just go do whatever you want.
Wow.
And I was like, yes, sir.
Yeah.
I went to my sheets.
Your bare butt spanking happened right then and there. Yeah. Straightened you out.
Yeah. So, year seven, buy them out, and didn't, you know, we had a really good year that year. I didn't sandbag. Like, even whenever I knew that I was buying them out, we talked about it early in the year. I just said, hey, I'd like to finish this year and I'll buy you out. And so, had a really good year that year, probably the best, obviously the best year we had ever had. And, I owed him a hefty amount of money, probably, based on what I do know about buying businesses, it's probably been about 250K, 250 to 300, depending on, you know, what it's worth. It probably might not even been worth that. It just really depends. But based on profit, that's about what it could have been. And so it's like, hey, so this is what I know it could be worth. I don't have enough credit to get a loan that big.
Yeah. What do that's you want to do? That's a damn house right there. Yeah.
And he goes, you made plenty of money, or you made me plenty of money. Just give me $25. And so gave him $25 for the entity. And then he called
me. What's even the purpose of $25? Like, he didn't need
an exchange.
Yeah. And there's a transaction.
Like, right? I said, he's fundamental. So to have the exchange. And so I paid him $25 for the company. And then he called me the next day and was like, hey, you probably will never stop asking me questions. He was like, so what do you think about two cars a year that you wrap for my racing series? And I was like, sure, anything. And he goes, and I think I said, frankly, I'll do anything that you want for free forever. That's what I told him. And he basically wrote that in a contract. And we have a signed contract between each other.
Are you still doing shit for him now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You shouldn't have said,
like, I'll go ahead and write that. Well, yeah. I own you.
Yeah. Well, he basically says people often forget the things that were done for them.
Yeah.
And
true.
So
it is very true.
He makes people do contracts.
So what's the relationship cool, like now today? You guys,
he's like dad, talk in a
like
way.
Once a week, once a month, or, you know, like what's,
I'd say at least once a month.
Yeah.
He's pretty busy. And I stay out of his way, but he's got the most peculiar quirk where, like, when he's with you and like 5 minutes later, he's walking away.
Yeah,
he's in and out.
Disappears.
He just doesn't stick for long. Like, he gets whatever he needs, and he usually gets it with two questions: how are things, and so what's going on? He gets
is he Irish?
Vomit of mouth. Like, I don't know.
They call it the Irish goodbye. It's just like, all of a sudden you're just gone.
Yeah.
Where'd he go? I don't know. I answered two questions and I blinked.
Yeah.
And he's not here anymore.
Seriously.
What did he do to get to become this individual that has the ability to mentor an individual like you and race cars and do cool shit?
So he's done that since day one, apparently. I read in a newspaper article that what they did is they mostly did not door-to-door sales, but business-to-business sales in the medical industry, basically. And they sold supplies, cultures, x-rays, all that good stuff. And that's what he did for somebody else. And they wanted to give him like a small raise at some point. And like, I think it was like a 10 cent raise. And he's like, nah, I'm going to go next door and just start my own shop then. So David and Goliath basically. And I think that he went, did really great things and they actually fell over. Not because of him, but just.
Just in general, probably based upon their business practices.
Right.
A 10 cent raise.
Yeah.
You know, ain't gonna get it done.
He would always hire young, impressionable people out of high school and college. So what he did for me is something he's been doing for like 30 years. And so I think, I don't know if that company went public or not, but I know that he's done some big stuff.
So when you say he's been mentoring people, like, not actually like, hey, we're going to start a business and then you're going to buy me out.
He's done that with
a few people.
According to what I know, he's pretty overall private. Like, I've still never been to his house in 10 years.
Wow. That's crazy that this just, private guy is willing to pour so much into this individual that came out to wrap his car. I think it's pretty badass.
He wants zero credit. It's interesting.
What's cool, too, is just to see what you're doing now. You know what I mean? Like, dude, you're one of those guys that's like, I don't know crap about the rap industry, nothing, but I can tell you're one of the guys that's like, I'm changing the space, right? You're figuring out all these systems within Go High Level, and now you're pouring into all these other people about how to take their rap business. You're treating them like alliances and pouring into people instead of like just trying to dominate your competitors. And so, you know, maybe you got some of that from him. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do see that, dude, because I see you online what you're doing. You're pouring into people too. So I think it's cool. You're paying it forward in that way.
I had to promise him that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He told me if I ever had the opportunity to help one person to do it.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that he required.
In a contract?
Cool. No.
Not that. No. That was the one thing that he didn't put in a contract. He's like, dude, that's a verbal contract and I'll hold you to it. So, we've obviously gone from some mentorship out of nowhere, random, to, you know, partnering with an individual, to you buying them out, to where you are today. So what's your goal with your business now? Like, where are you taking it over the next 3 to 5 years so that, you know, if there's anything listeners could do to help support that, that they also know?
Yeah. So basically the goal right now is we have 3 locations and, you know, with the 3 locations, it's not incredibly complicated.
In Florida?
Yes.
Okay.
So we have one in Amelia Island, which is a very like St. George like area where it's
small community, tight knit,
good. You know, there's a lot of wealth there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Amelia Island area is a slightly older demographic because it's more of a retirement place. A
lot of golf courses then.
Yes. Lots of golf courses. And, you know, to do a million in sales is not that hard. But with what we do, it's we only deal with mostly the service trades. You know, and so we had to go outside of the area to really grow. And I wasn't really content with where we were at because I was making good money.
Yeah.
But I can't really create any success for anybody else.
Yeah. You get to a point in business where that happens. I think every entrepreneur is going to get to a point where they're building and growing a business and their income gets good. And it's like, okay, I guess I could just sit here and make, you know, a couple $100,000 a year, but I'm going to cycle in and out of people and I'm not really developing them because I'm just going to have a base wage just to have support to keep me making X, whatever that number is. Right. And then you have to start thinking bigger so that you have the ability to create opportunities for everybody else around you. Right. And that's kind of where your head was at that point.
Yeah. So we had a cool opportunity where a guy that I knew a long time ago, we were basically best buddies and went separate ways about middle school. And then he almost died from something with his lungs. And so I went and checked on him at the hospital and we kind of reconnected, but then also fell off again.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, he asked me to wrap his Jeep for his wife. So we did a Barbie Jeep and I was like, hey, what are you doing?
A Barbie Jeep?
Yeah, we did a Barbie Jeep for his wife. It's awesome. She's got more ducks on that thing than anybody on the planet. But he was truck driving and he didn't really, I was like, man, didn't really like, you know, your dad driving trucks, like just because
it was just kind of a what he saw. Yeah. It was the environment he in, and well, it was the least path of resistance, or what?
He had some stuff that happened earlier in his life, and so like he definitely worked his way up to that point, and yeah. he earned that position, and it paid good. But you know, I was like, don't you like that? And he's like, yeah, not really. And he's like, I was like, well, why don't you do something else? He's like, well, I can't because of this thing. And I was like, well, that doesn't really matter. Like, you can do whatever you want. And so I was like, well, why don't we just like start a shop together? Like, and so like that's where kind of like an inkling of an idea started. Now, we got turned down because, you know, fear and comfort and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like probably a year and a half later, this whole time this idea has been like whirring in my mind. Like,
that was where the seed. Yeah. Really kind of deepened and got planted, and it took a year and a half to start growing.
Like all roots. The little like intricacies of like how it would work. Well, is there a printer at every location? And then it was right in front of my face the whole time. There's a company that distributes the vinyl goods. His name's Frank Fellers. He just exited his company for a lot.
Stupid money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all of his locations are one person picking materials all over the country in like a 2,000 to 4,000 square foot facility. Mm. But all the brains are in one location.
Yeah.
So all the,
so the overhead is cheap on the exterior, yeah. but let's make this one thing robust and it's okay to have it big overhead.
Yeah. So their headquarters had all the overhead. So I was like, that's a really good idea. And so we, you know, then I found out that's called satellite locations. And so cool. And then, so now we have a satellite location in Jacksonville, and all it is one 10 by 13 office for like a walk-in. The rest of it's just for install. And so there's no W-2 employees there. Everybody's contracted basically, except for maybe the door greeter, a receptionist type person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So really, you know, it's our choice if we want to contract labor or is used in-house staff or flex a guy from my main shop over, because we didn't, you know, like if Riley wants to go over to Jacksonville because there's like five cars to do that day, we just kind of move people around.
Do you pop around at all, or do you got people kind of?
I do sometimes. Yeah. The one thing that I haven't like figured out yet is our clear bra department, but we've got a guy training for it. So it just that one's tough. You have to cut on the car a lot, and it's just...
Yeah, it's sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one's hard to give up, but we're close. So...
Is that the dude that you brought to California?
Wes is the one I'm... yes.
This is the guy, is the buddy from high school that drove truck that is now working with you. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was cool.
Yeah, and he's got mad potential, and he's got mad drive, and, you know, he's committed.
And how long has he been with you now?
Since February, March.
Okay. Not quite a year then.
No.
And he's just crushing it for you?
Yeah, he's doing very well. I mean, obviously there's the ebbs and flows of...
it's just new.
This isn't as new for new. One.
Yeah, yeah.
But can't it's be also great at something brand harder new. Than yeah. people really expect. Mm.
It just seems like they think you just throw... Everybody always downplays how hard something is for some. You just can't see the surface level, right? When you pull back the curtain and you get a see behind the scenes, so to speak, that's always a little bit more intricate than what people would assume, right?
So we the thing that he's done the best is learned a new skill. I mean, like, he's learned a new skill, and he's in it. I mean, he sold his house, extracted his equity out of it, bought a camper, and he's living in a camper right now temporarily. So our next year's big goal for him is to earn $60,000 to where he could actually buy. He's already took the cash from his house and bought dirt, so it's paid off. So he has so basically
sacrificing
now,
his way to winning big, right?
So he has some delayed gratification.
Yeah, I love that.
And so that's like anytime we have like a hard talk, like that's the thing that I like, not necessarily leverage, but like, hey, this is getting in the way of your big goal. That's why we have to do this. That's I'm even talking to you about it, because if I care about it.
So, yeah, he understands the concept, but sometimes you have to remind the hey, remember.
Yeah.
Right? That's what mentorship is, right? It's kind of continuing to make sure that the perspective stays the same so that the goal could be attained, right?
Well, Adam said it best, I think. Adam Smith, I've never actually heard it said this way. Coaches have plays, and they teach you how to operate the play. Mentors have plays, but they don't just give them to you. They teach you how to think. so that you can create your own plays. And I was like,
you become the coach and you can be behind the scenes creating the plays rather than just being a player running plays.
Yep.
Yeah. I love that.
That was good.
So what's his, what's the goal for him? Is he going to eventually, do you guys sit down with each other and say, hey, well, you're going to completely run this and this or do this one day?
Yeah. So he currently operates his location as his company. Basically.
Okay, cool.
I have a couple different models that I'm toying the ideas with where, you know, I think with him, it would be over time he would buy additional equity, but right now he gets a 30% profit share.
Cool.
And then, which obviously there isn't much of that because we're in growth stage, but you know, 1 or 2 years from now, it's going to be good.
Right. Anything that has the ability to be good has to go through a growth stage that is somewhat painful, right? And sacrifices need to be made. There's delayed gratification. You might have to live in a camper. You might, you know, like what are you actually willing to do when it comes down to it, right? Like everybody says that they want success, but would you live in a camper? You know, like that's the question. Most people just want the result and they shortcut a whole bunch of shit. This dude's doing it right, you know?
Yeah.
And he's got obviously a great leader helping, you know, kind of coach him through and keep his perspective where it needs to be so he could see success, you know?
Absolutely.
I'd say that location probably be a 50-50 split over time. Because I do, like, basically he's getting 30% equity for sure. It's going to be 5% per year over time. And then he can buy an additional 20 for sure. And if he wants to do other locations with me, that's cool. If he's fine with one, then that's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally up to him. And that's kind of like the future plan is – promote from within. So like Riley, the guy you met, he's young. He wants to travel. So if I open up a shop, let's just say somewhere in St. George, then I can send him there for 6 months and let him train the staff and audit the work and make sure that it's right.
The quality standard. Yeah.
Send him to the next one. Give him a commission check for operation complete. You know?
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you understand his goals and what his desires are and you're thinking with inside your plan, how can he fit inside this where he's accomplishing what he wants to accomplish, getting the experiences that he wants to experience, and everybody's winning, right? Mm-hmm. That's really the idea of running a business is putting yourself in a situation where you understand what everybody's goals are and you put them in a circumstance or a situation where they can accomplish those goals with inside of you accomplishing your goals, right? Yeah.
We even have a guy, his name's Davey. He's like the heartbeat of my wraps division because he handles all the printing.
Yeah.
He wants to live in Charlotte so bad. And for like last year, I was like, man, don't move.
Yeah.
Don't move. Please don't move. But I remember sitting in a meeting. I don't know why it came over. I was like, you're moving to Charlotte next year, December.
He's like, and that's like this like, next month?
Not this next month, but next year.
Next year. Okay.
I said, I don't care how we're going to get there. I don't care if I need to. Like
it's going to happen.
You're going to go to Charlotte because you want to. And if you want to work remote from Charlotte, then cool. We have to figure that out. If not, let's build this bad boy out and like teach a person behind you.
Hmm.
And so he's like, hell yeah.
Well, now it's touchable. Now there's something in his mind. It's like, okay, that's what I've wanted. Mm-hmm. You could say in 2 years, but at least they could see this thing that they want coming to fruition, right? And that's it. Even bringing employees in, right? A lot of employees come into an organization and they don't know when their next raise is. They don't know where they're going to be in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years. The idea is to really understand, again, where they want to be and lay out a plan. Hey, this is our compensation plan. You could be at this point in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. They have to also have a long-term vision and goal of them growing with inside of the organization. And if you don't ever have those type of conversations with people, you don't know when they're wanting to leave to do something to secretly move to Charlotte because that's just where he wants to be. But the fact that you create a space where there's open dialogue, where he feels as though that he can be open with you and say, hey, man, I'm Charlotte, right? If you were an asshole closed off, that he would probably one day just, hey, man, I'm going to put in my 2 weeks. I'm moving to Charlotte, right? But due to the fact that he feels comfortable enough with you,
you've created that environment where he feels like he can openly communicate that to you, and then you can help him win and accomplish that goal.
Yeah.
And I think more business owners need to sit down with their employees, ask them what their goals are, what they want, and see if long-term you could create or facilitate that somehow, help them win, and you also win in the process. It's okay to create win-win situations for people and yourself, right?
You don't want your own satellite office up there with him?
It's already been played with. I don't know if he wants that or not.
Yeah.
Just based on his stuff. I think he would rather help. He's a big systems guy. He loves it.
Yeah.
So I think honestly, he might be greater than just a print tech. He might be more of if this thing really kicked off and we really grew like crazy, he could be a chief tech officer
type. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh,
he's
really?
Really good. So when we built our, Trello,
he's one of those minds that works differently.
Hey, I want this. Can you build it? Mm-hmm. And he would be like, yeah, I think I can build an automation for that. He really would dig in. And so me and him speak on a very level playing field when it comes to we moved our whole Trello to Monday recently. So showing him the automations and stuff. And he's just like, I get it.
Do you like Monday better?
I do.
Yeah.
Much.
That's funny, huh? We were just on a phone call with our guy that's been here for, I know,
yeah. Yeah.
But our guy that's been here forever, Corey, is just like, well, I like Trello. And it was like, dude. Corey was like, I'm open-minded to switching to Monday, but you could tell there was resistance.
No, I was saying he was the other guy that's just highly.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, yo, you guys should try Monday.
It's,
you know?
It's the
he started
data
saying, yeah,
that you can extract out of it is nice.
It's a quick glance at it, too. He's like, dude, I can see what needs to be done on Monday so much quicker than Trello. I'm like, that's cool, bro. I've actually played with Trello and I can't remember the other one. It wasn't Monday. Huh?
ClickUp.
I don't know. Maybe it was a different one. Asana. I didn't like either of them, dude. Corey kept trying to get me in there on these projects. I'm like, dude, I don't like it. But I'm excited to check out Monday because everybody I've heard on Monday is like, that's good, man.
I like that thinking forward. It has large support of large corporate businesses that can help you build it. At a certain point that you can't build it any further, there's people who understand how.
Yeah.
That's cool. Really cool. So you don't have to change software again because that sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
Outgrowing software to jump to this, to then this, to then trying to figure it out, that will grow with you is what you're saying?
Yeah. Monday will grow with you.
Yeah.
Whereas Trello, there's just not a lot of support. It's great.
Yeah.
But it just, we outgrew it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Let's dive into self-improvement a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you've been beating your feet quite a bit.
Yeah, they hurt.
You've been running, but moving some ground.
Do they hurt today or are they ready for tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're actually doing tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Can't wait.
Oh, were you on the fence about it? I thought it was for sure.
My knee's been weird, man.
Oh, yeah, okay.
My knee's been swelling up at mile 4. It sucks.
Yeah.
Dude, what I loved about it is that random ass marathon that you did that one time.
No, with his dog.
That was you're like, oh, I was going to run a marathon anyway, so I just figured I might as well do it a month earlier and see what it feels like.
Brody
Fawcett
jacked me up, man.
Yeah.
He did what?
Why not tomorrow?
Oh, Brody on his and OG's over there running 165 with him and his lady, So it's
I didn't know if I felt more bad for you or your dog, dude. I was like, you took your dog on the whole 26 miles.
I switched him out.
Oh, yeah. You did switch him out?
Yeah, okay. I did. Two, bro. Each one got a half marathon in that day, dog.
All right.
Let's talk about that a little bit because, I think more people need to understand the power just in self-improvement in general, joining groups or surrounding yourself with different people so that you have the ability to just have a different perspective. And I think that you've, out of a lot of different people that I've seen, you've dove, it seems like when you dive into something, you don't just play with it, right? Or tinker with it. It's just you're like a crackhead with it, right? You're going to go all out with
growing
it.
Up,
yeah.
I legitimately stayed away from alcohol and drugs for that reason.
Because you have such an addictive personality.
I was one hit of weed, I'm straight into meth. Let's go.
Yeah. You're over there tapping your vein after. That's some good weed. What else you got?
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. I mean, I've been like that my whole life.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of a bad habit too. And I think this is the big shift mentally was habits can't form when you only go all in or not. Kind of thing. So I finally started to really just focus on the small wins, if you will, to actually form the habits. But we started in December 8th is when I really started the whole 75 hard thing of last year. And
what made you want to start doing stuff like that? Like, Because it seems as though that you started seeing some success. You had a mentor, this individual that kind of tuck you under his wing. Yeah. And then you got to a certain point in business where you like just down and out. Because a lot of people, when they're at the lowest of lows, put themselves in where I've got to do something just completely different and switch it up. Like, were you experiencing a low, or you just wanted to challenge yourself?
Was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Business was overall really good. I mean, there was pain as far as like I was doing everything, not literally everything, because I had Davey and really great staff members.
Yeah.
But I was still like, you know, always on demand for my customers and stuff like that. And you know, I'd be in the back installing, somebody would walk in the front. Well, I didn't have a receptionist, so I'd walk all the way from the back of a 5,000 square foot shop to the front to go say, hey, cool. Then 30 minutes later, walk back to the back, and somebody else walks in.
So it sounds super efficient.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
So basically, business was good as far as money. It wasn't good as far as being a business. Mm. And but I don't know this that I was like happy.
You just, yeah, like mentally, like on the outside, everything looked good on with the business and everything, but there were some mental things, depression or whatever.
Lying
like,
to myself.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it just, there's a lot of things. And so I just kind of, you know, got entitled with my wife and stuff like that. You know, Keith Yackey did a lot on that.
And yeah.
It's 100% accurate. And so it's just.
So you jump into 75 hard just to say, fuck, I need to just jog my life up a little bit, right? Yeah. Like, shake it up.
Yeah, who can I be?
Yeah.
And so I failed 75 hard for, like, 4 months. It was hard.
Just kept restarting.
So, like you would get to what, day 5 or 10 or 20, you know?
Like 56 was the first time.
Wow.
Then it would be, like, 30, and then it was, like, 40.
Was it always the same thing, like the picture, or was it food? Was it the workout?
I fell
asleep
twice reading a book. Literally, I was on page like 9 the first time it happened. Like, I was on 9, fell asleep, wake up, and you were talking about throwing a book through the house. Like, I was so mad.
Yeah. Yeah. And, what name was that one?
And that was like the 50s.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And so the picture was never a problem because I always did that first.
Yeah. Right when you woke up.
Water, not a problem. Exercise, sometimes a problem. And then the reading was always hard for me to sit down and just read. And so
the ADD thing, just kind of, to calm yourself
a little bit. I mean,
you ever a reader at all, or did 75 hard force you to kind of sit down and actually become an individual that reads?
I had a really high reading score growing up.
Yeah.
And I did a lot.
Like, okay.
I think I read like Lord of the Rings in like middle school, but then video games took over.
Yeah.
Cause I grew up in a video store. So like I had access to everything.
Yeah.
We were the cool kids.
Yeah.
But, but.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. Well, just, in the 90s, dude, you would have freaking been King Tut, you know, at the video game stores.
Yeah. So we went deep dived it. I completed it the first time, I think, at the second RBO event. I think
on the first event in March, were you doing it then?
I had just failed it and then started it over.
Okay. So did you start while you were here in St. George at the event, or right after you left?
Right,
you
said, after I left.
Okay.
Basically like said, like, you're doing this again. Like, I basically told myself I was going to do it until I beat it. Like,
yeah.
Like, I was already committed to that. But I didn't, like, I always gave a couple of days in between just to recollect, why did I fail? What did I do? Made little adjustments. And that was hard because, you know, like, I'm trying to tell my wife I'm going to give you more time, but then I was taking all the extra time away and doing the workouts at night and stuff. And so,
y'all, there's battles with that, dude. I guarantee you there's plenty of listeners that have done it that totally vibe with that, because they're like, I don't think any spouses
like it.
Like 75 hard. Yeah. You know, so.
No, mine doesn't.
So we did it. Then we completed it on the second RBO event. It was the first night. Basically,
with I remember day. You were like right at the end there. Mm-hmm. Like, I have one more day or something when I show up. Yep. Yeah.
And then Trevor goes and jacks me up. I was like, I was going to do it again with my mentor because he was doing a Rap IQ 75 hard thing. And so I was like, they're on day 4 or something like that. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it with you guys again too.
Yeah.
And it was a cool thing. It was like 10 people that completed it together. It was really cool.
Yeah. That is
bad. And you were like, you need to do 75 hard again, but don't call it 75 hard. He goes, you need to take all the dopamine away from it and don't post about it and just do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also said, what do you hate doing? I was like, I hate running. Like, that's your workout.
Yep.
You asshole.
Yeah, I remember that. You know, I think a lot of people just look, it's us as humans, we want to feel a part of something. Yeah. You know, something bigger than ourselves, right? And when you're watching these people that you look up to, you and you're doing it and you post about it, kind of makes you feel a part of it. Like, hey guys, look, like I can do it too. Like I'm a badass, right? Yeah. It's a sense of what? Validation.
Yep.
Right? Like that's what we're seeking as human beings. We want to be validated that we're a part of the cool kids club, or hey, we're doing what the badasses of the world are doing, right? And when I did it the first time, it's like, cool, I checked all the boxes, all that, but I didn't, and I felt good, but I didn't, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same on the second time when I didn't really do it for other people. I did it because I was at such a low spot mentally that it was like, I need to do something for me. Like, I don't want the outside validation. I don't care. I want to be better. Right. I want to be better. Not Kel think I'm better, or Brent think that I'm better, or other people think that I'm better. So I said, this time it's for me. It's not for the gram, or it's not for other people, or to try to look cool. And it felt different and it felt better to me. And so when you said that you were going to do it again, I'm like, bro, don't call it 75. Yeah. Create a lifestyle around it. Right? Like, do it for you this time. Did it feel any different the second time around when you actually started living it more as a lifestyle versus like checking the apps and doing all that?
So I didn't actually, because I didn't call it 75 hard, yeah. I didn't actually do 75 hard. Now, I did my own version of hard, clearly.
Yeah.
I basically still did, you know, for the most part, two workouts a day. I do more so one, but my one was a lot harder than most people's too.
Yeah.
So,
so what did you start doing when you went home?
Ran.
Yeah.
Just went straight Senate. And
what was your first run? Was it a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, five
first
miles?
First run was actually at that event when you guys left. I stayed the second day and me and Yelsey hung out that day.
Mm-hmm.
That morning I ran 4.5 miles.
Wow.
That was like the most I've ever ran.
The one in Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And hills suck cause I'm in Florida. So,
That's equivalent to 7 miles in Florida.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I mean,
even in Laguna, those hills were getting to me.
Those were
brutal. I was like, damn, dude, like PCH got bigger hills than I thought, man.
Yeah. So I remember, it was like 4.5 miles, but I didn't really count it because like a lot of it was downhill. And so then I went home and flat. Like I remember doing the 4 miles unbroken. I sent you a video crying like a little baby because I ran 4 miles.
Yeah. But you did something for you that felt good, right? Yeah. Did you cry during 75 hard when you completed it?
No.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It has more meaning to self. And really that was the idea is to like do it for you, dude.
Yeah, and then I freaking just did my addictive thing. And
then he turned his crackhead, you know, addictive personality on. And next thing you know,
I sent him within a week. I did 8
mm-hmm.
unbroken. And then I ran, I think it was 13. I didn't know that was a half marathon, but I did 13 because, no, I did 16. That's what I did. I did 16 because I was listening to your birthday episode, and I was on the workout at the time, and I was feeling strong that day. And I was like, dude, I didn't know it was your birthday on that day. Like, I was just like, it'd be cool to go out there and, like, do the last 10 miles. Just show up randomly and just, like, give you, like, some energy kind of thing.
Yeah,
and so I was like, man, that'd be cool. And like I'm thinking, and then you're like, by the way, we're doing it tonight. And I'm like, yeah, it's actually that day. So I was like, well, I guess I have to do this virtually. And so I sent it until my legs could not go. And it was 16 miles. And
I remember that too, bro. I appreciated and that a lot.
I turned that one. I made him cry. I got it on video.
Yeah.
And then
deleted it, homie.
About to wrestle for that.
Yeah.
But so you know, I sent that, and then I got to thinking. I was like, well, shit, I'm about to run a marathon with Kale. I've never done that before, and that 16 miles hurt. Like, how am I going to do my nutrition? Like, when do I eat? Like, because I'm analytical, so I'm like, when do I eat? When do I drink?
Yeah, how do I hydrate? When do I take these goos or these electrolytes?
I was like, all right, well, let's do 26 miles. And so I did a random solo marathon, which is highly not advised, actually.
Yeah.
They say don't run marathons by yourself because you don't know how to pace yourself. You don't have any outside, like,
you don't have those little tables. You don't have, You have nothing. The what do they call them when you're
aid stations?
The aid station.
I made my own. I had my house and my car. We parked my car down the road, and I just had stuff in the back. I remember dying, like basically. I mean, literally, the first.
What 20, was that like mile 20 or something?
20s when it hurt bad, but they actually say marathons are two different races. It's 1 to 20, and then 20.
That's 26. A fact.
Cosign for that, whoever came up with that
because
statement.
Because I've heard the same things, but I'm not super analytical, bro. I just go out and do it. Like, I figured out on some 8 and 10 mile runs, like, I need to take water for anything past this, you know? Yeah. So then I went and bought a little backpack and shit, and I started doing some 13s and 15s. And then Trev's like, come up and get, you know, 30. They were getting 30, but like, I was like, I'll come and do 20 with you guys, okay? Because I got a 26 mile next week for the marathon. So I'm like, you know, I'll save that last six to kind of like feel it at the finish line. Right. But, dude, we ran the 20 and it was easy.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, bro. Like, yeah, I'm tight and shit, but like, I could keep going I could keep going these other 6 miles.
Yeah.
Well, on the actual marathon, dude, I stopped at mile 20 aid station, grabbed a freaking banana and some whatever Gatorade they got. And my hammy seized.
All hell breaks and loose I was like, after mile 20.
Shit. Well, I'm like, well, I gotta keep going. It'll loosen up again. But bro, for like 2 straight miles, dude, I started tapping into some Shannon breathwork shit at like mile 22. And I was like, you know how she says like move it around, like whatever you're feeling and stuff. I was like, I started like visioning, like moving this pain from my calves and hammies up into my chest and blowing it out.
Yeah.
And it worked, bro. I freaking got through those last 4 miles, like actually jogging again. Yeah. But for two and a half miles, bro, I was like doing the mummy walk, bro, because my hammies were so messed up. Popping salt pills, trying to do all the shit.
Yeah, you're like, I'll take anything right now.
Yeah.
Like, just to get it done.
There is, like, a lot to learn about running, dude, because, like, I didn't do it. I was like, I'm just going to go run, bro. Like, whatever. Danny's calling me, like, you need to take Tailwind, and you need to take this, and magnesium, and all the shit. Yeah. I'm like, whatever, bro. But, dude, once you get out there and get some miles under you, though, like, you know, your body does adjust.
Dude, honestly, yeah, I mean, there's adjustments that happen, but... No, I mean, I've run some, you know, deep miles several times, and it doesn't change. Like, 20 miles, like, after that, it's a bitch, regardless whether you've done it once or whether you've done it 10 times. Yeah. Anything after that, 2-0, it's a grind, dude. Yeah. You're welcome to hell, right? And it's you versus you at that point to see if you can beat, you know, the side of your brain that's going to say, fuck, bro, what are you doing right now? Like, what did I do to deserve this?
Sure, dude. I did have a guy tell me too, right at the starting line. He was like, "Oh yeah, by the way, the last 6 miles are the toughest." And so when it happened at mile 20, I was like, "You saw that guy's face, bro."
Negativity.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is that for real, or am I thinking this because the guy told me? Is this a self fulfilling prophecy because the guy said that?
Mm-hmm.
No, it ain't, dude. It just fucking hurts after 20. Yeah, so.
It does.
Yeah, we transitioned that. I actually have still yet to run an actual marathon because we had a hurricane cancel me on that. And then,
but you still went out and got 26 for yourself, dude.
I had already done it. That
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I tried to do it again. I actually ran another solo marathon, and I DNF'd it at like mile 14 because I was just like not feeling it.
That was during the hurricane.
That was during the hurricane. But I wasn't feeling it.
He was trying to run into the wind,
in
bro.
I was in it.
Yeah. And so I just... I knew that I had already, like, because of the hurricane and, like, the week and a half, like, of it coming up, and I knew it probably wouldn't fly. I kind of, like, dipped off a little bit on the training.
Yeah.
And so I just checked out on it. But I also think it was because I'd already done it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And so.
You gave yourself credit is what you're saying?
I guess. I don't know.
Mentally, like, oh, I've done that
before. Well, it's just, like, it wasn't a big, lofty goal anymore.
Yeah.
And so I signed up for a 50-miler in January.
Where's
January?
That one at?
Yeah.
Like, 2 months.
I know.
2 months, bro.
What distances are you training right now? Because I know that you've been doing a little bit like the cadence. You've been working on different stuff like
I've
that,
reduced
right?
my distance right now just because of my knee a little bit. But so it's going to be a grind. But I've done I was up to – I was doing almost 8 to 10 a night for a while. And then like I teetered off. But I think I think I injured myself trying to bike with a bad like fit type thing. I, like where I'm not injured as far as like a tear, but like I'm injured as far as like inflammation.
Mm.
So I've been only really running like 4 miles, like 4 to 6, and just sticking with that, keeping my conditioning. But I've been doing a lot of odd stuff, like my feet are a weakness. So I do feet training. I do a lot of weird yoga type stuff, trying to loosen up my hips.
Yeah.
And so I just got a treadmill, so I'm going to be doing vertical incline weighted stuff.
Got to get
you. But if I can't get the miles in, yeah, I got to do something else.
Yeah.
And so
you got to make sure your legs are getting some form of work, right? Yeah.
So I'm working on the weaknesses right now. And so, because I think I can easily willpower. I actually think I can willpower myself to 50.
I think almost any human can. I mean, if there was, like, if my child needed me and they were 50 yeah. miles, like, a mother that doesn't even run, yeah, I guarantee fucking tea, she's going to see 50 under her feet to mm-hmm. get to her child, right? It just depends on yeah. how important it is, how big of a priority it is to you, what it means to you, right? Yeah. And at that point, you'll do whatever it takes as long as it, the meaning is great enough, right? And so if you've willed yourself to 26 within like a couple months of first running, you know, now you have running experience, you're working on yourself, dude, you'll get 50.
Yeah.
Running does some interesting things, though. It makes you, you guys said that you haven't experienced it yet, but I've like flat out just cried mid-run, like mile 16, just like think of something. So like Angel's Landing did that today.
Yeah.
I think that's actually a small like starting thing for me. We didn't get to do it in 2020 because me and the wife hiked from the base, from the parking lot to Angel's Landing. There was no trolley. There were buses.
Oh.
And then we started it. And so right before it turns left to go into like the flat, right after the first set of switchbacks, that's where we turned around. But it was like a 20-mile hike. Mm-hmm. So we didn't complete it then. And I was like, I want to do that.
That's a goal.
That was a yeah. thing, right? And yeah. so we finally 2 years later did it.
That's
and,
awesome.
And we did it in 3 hours instead of 4 hours, like they say on Google. So
that was this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we crushed it.
3 hours ago, four yeah. hours ago, yeah. something like that.
But, you know, it basically makes you really present. And so, like, I would think of things like that. So, like, I have a big lofty goal of doing the Leadville 100. And, like, I'll think about it. I've actually, like, visualized it while running.
That's cool.
It's weird.
That's cool.
Like, yeah. And so, like, I'm and like.
Is that what creates the emotion?
I guess, maybe. Like, I can see it that clearly.
Is it because you're just proud of yourself in this new version, or
I don't know, but it I guess you could say like crossover, like the pain of it and continuing doing it, because I mean I still don't like running,
right?
It sucks. I hate it. I mean, literally, like I have to almost get like will myself out of the house sometimes, but doing it then creates like a weird sense of integrity.
Yeah.
If you will, to where like, oh, he means what he says.
Yep.
Like my team, like whenever I say something like, yeah, he didn't break his own lie or like he break his own promises to himself. Like if he tells me like I need to tighten up, like I probably should tighten up.
Yeah.
But if I was just a slob like I was and just kind of doing whatever I was doing, then it doesn't really mean as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think, because they know I don't like running.
Yeah.
And Riley, especially like Riley, he's like, you went around how much last night? Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, so it's just
when you say numbers like that, it slaps people in the face, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of feels good. You're just like, oh, yeah, I did do that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I did 10 miles it or is. 20 miles or whatever.
Yeah.
If you're surprising people, that means obviously you're doing something pretty special, yeah. something pretty great.
It's definitely a healing exercise, man. Like, whatever level you're at, yeah. this is just for everybody, right? But, like, the coolest thing I ever got from running was I was in my first marriage, completely miserable. I was, like, anxiety through the roof, literally having panic attacks, bro. Like I'd go to the hospital and they would tell me, dude, it's just anxiety. And so then I was embarrassed to go back to the hospital. Like yeah. I wouldn't go because I'm like, oh. So then I would just like sit there and like eat this panic attack. Like just yeah. like it was so miserable, right? Like, but I was like, why am I having these, right? Dude, I started making shifts, man. Started making shifts in who I was. Started going on runs, and I wasn't doing long ass runs, guys. I wasn't trying to do 50 milers or even a marathon. But I was just trying to get my health back.
A couple miles in.
I started reading this book called The Abs Diet. Everybody wants abs, right? But it was actually a really good health book. But all the stats in there sketched me out worse. My anxiety got even worse. I was like, I'm going to stop reading this book. I'm just going to start running every day. I'm going to start running every day. Then I'll finish the book later. I did end up finishing the book. But, dude, there was one run after I'd been running for only like 8 weeks or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was like, dude, all these panic attacks and anxiety is just worry. And it's something shit that we just keep making up in our head. Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm going to stop having panic attacks right now on a run, dude. And I was like, I committed right there on that spot on a run. I'm not having panic attacks anymore. I've never had one again.
It's awesome.
But dude, when you're a person that has panic attacks, you think they're out of your control. But because I started running 3 miles, 5 miles, you know, like me and my sister used to go on runs. I had this little running trail, like 5 miles was like a good run for me, you know, but I ran every day, at least three or five, you know, four, whatever. I mix it up. Number. And I was like, dude, I got the power to actually choose to stop having panic attacks. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's like, even when we're not talking about 50 or 100 miles, which is cool as shit. You know, you should train for that. You should kick your own ass to do that. But like anybody listening, dude, and I'm only saying this because you're like, dude, I learned a lot of cool things from running. He's like, dude, at any level, like you getting out pushing yourself consistently will give you the power to like,
doesn't matter,
if even fix something like five, panic attacks or maybe a confidence issue or, you know, some mental
all
shit.
All of it.
You know?
All of it.
Yeah. Well, we saw a guy on the hill today, super nice guy. And it all started because he made a joke. He goes, you're not cold. You must be from Montana. I was like, no, sir, I'm from Florida. He goes, you're joking. And I said, no, sir. But I was like, did you enjoy it? And he goes, I loved it. He goes, you know, there's so many cool things in the United States. He was like 70. He was older.
Yeah.
And he goes, there's so many cool things in the United States, and I just wish I had the money that I could go and see it all.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of like talked to Riley, and I was like, that's why you have to be successful.
Yeah.
I was like, if money doesn't make you happy, because it doesn't, then at least it can afford you the opportunities to do whatever you want as far as experience.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty cool.
Let me ask you this. What's your biggest takeaway from 2022? Because it's just, you know, I don't know, you lost, what, 80 pounds, something like that this year, holding your own foot to the fire, pushing yourself mentally, pushing yourself physically. You're a completely different person from, you know, March to November, right? Yeah. Obviously, you're on this, like, war path of personal growth. Like, what's the biggest takeaway of 2022 for Brent Knott?
It's hard because there's a lot of them.
What's the top 10 takeaways for Brent?
New episode. Starting top 10.
Instead of SportsCenter's top 10, it's Brent Knott's top 10 takeaways, dude.
As long as you have theme music in the background.
But we can add it.
But I would say it's, you know, we mostly get our own way. Was probably the biggest one. Whether it be deep-rooted thoughts, you know, letting go. I mean, like, even down to like the very day before the flight coming here to do this project, you know, I had just gotten over getting sick. My wife got sick. And so now I'm about to leave for 4 or 5 days and she's sick and she's by herself. I'm like, crap. I haven't really, like, I've taught these guys how to do this particular task on a clear brow project, but I haven't like really like signed off on one yet. And like, they were still there and they're just like, like, man, like they saw me like kind of pacing. I was doing that, like, I'm stuck, like,
yeah,
I have to do both and I can't. And my guy was like, dude, just go home,
yeah, balance,
we will do this and we'll make sure it's right. And the customer loved it,
yeah,
signed off on it, paid for it and everything. Who knows when I would have actually let them do that.
Yeah. You had to be between a rock and a hard place in order for them to finally say,
luckily,
bro.
Luckily, it wasn't like as deep as some people where they have to get injured or something like that. Where they can't physically do the task.
There's zero choice at that point.
I wasn't forced. It was just more like I had to make a decision. It was like, tick off the wife and they take care of the customer. Don't take care of the wife and then leave the next morning at 5 a.m. It's just more like becoming better at decisions that you think matter that don't. Like, you know, you think it's going to kill you to leave that car there and let the team do it. They had the time to do it, but it was just like, I would just say overall, just making sure that, you know, get out of your own way.
Don't create situations that force you to have to be the guy in all situations, right? Is kind of what you're saying is what I'm hearing. Yeah.
I really, we tolerate a lot of pain. The plank thing, again, Adam, I'm an Adam fanboy, I guess.
Yeah. But, shout out Adam.
Yeah. Right.
Savage Freedoms.
But, but you know, we endure a lot of pain because we like to be the problem solver, but we're the ones creating the problem because we want to be validated by it.
Yeah.
And so literally like, the last 3-4 months, I haven't touched a squeegee except for that bumper. That's the only thing that on ClearBra is the only thing that I've actually touched in production. The team has taken over everything else.
You're creating your own shackle.
Yeah.
And then, you know, bitching that somebody else can't come in here and do the same. Like, you're creating your own prison around your business.
Yeah.
More business owners need to understand that. Yeah. Like, allow people the opportunity to step up. There's been many times where you've had to develop self and step up to create the individual that you are. And obviously, they're going to have to get to the point where they have the opportunity to step up for you and show you what they have the ability to do. Masterminds, how have they changed you? How have they benefited you, you know, resources-wise, mentally, all of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I joined RBO, it was weird. Like, it was another, like, I'm actually high on the visionary score, but I'm also pretty high on the integrator score, but I'm definitely a dreamer. You know, 2020, I worked a lot of nights and, you know, I listened to the RBO podcast a lot and stuff. And so it was weird. Like, I kind of, like, visualized it before it even existed, actually. And so I kind of manifested it. And then it came up and Corey picks me and I'm like, ooh, that's a big dollar. And I've always paid for mentorship and stuff. But it was, you know, it's like,
It's decent.
But then I was also like, I bet on me. Basically, it's kind of just what I thought about. I was like, screw it, just send it. Like, just
send it.
I literally sent it to you.
Yeah.
But we, you know, I knew after the first event, like, we did the breath work and had not necessarily like a visualization, but just an affirmation of like affirming that I needed to hire a particular person. And that person was my mother. And we had always fought it because we're family.
Yeah.
She's a crazy good.
You just didn't want to put yourself in a situation where something bad could happen. So you're putting yourself in a situation where the good can't happen too.
Right.
Yeah.
So we hired her and, man, she's just such a good leader and whatnot. We have to, you know, there's certain things we have to train where she's not used to certain things, but that's slowly, you know, coming in. So it's interesting that I have to lead her through that. It's a weird dynamic, but we grew up in a small business, so like we don't treat it like mom and son. It is employee to, you know, we're in the workspace.
Yeah.
But so that was the first major hire. That got me out of a lot because now the customers don't have access to me. Even though I want the customer to have access to me, but that's where I had to let go first. So,
well, that's less time to actually do the work if they have access to it. Yeah.
So, I would say that joining RBO is huge, like just because it consolidated a lot of my time. I don't know how long I would have held on to that for sure had I not maybe done that. Like the breath work itself was like what unlocked that. It wasn't nothing else at the event.
Yeah.
Like there was some other stuff, but like, whatever I received in that thing
is what
like,
you needed.
And I remember sitting down, I'm like, man, I'm not into this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
Yeah.
But you know what? I paid a lot of money for this breathwork session. So
I'm going to go in.
I'm going to go on. Yeah. Yeah. So I sent it and it was good. And
did you like the second one just as much as
better?
Even better?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Like I'm for sure on the right track. And the second was more of a personal one. And so, yeah,
it always unlocks exactly what you fucking need in at that moment.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And so I've also joined, you know, the Step It Up Academy, and I joined that with Thomas Keenan. And so that one, I kind of treat the masterminds a little bit like investing in a fund or something. You want to be on first round, in my opinion.
Yeah.
First round always, if it's going to win, that's the round you want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the way I looked at it.
The OG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I am good at, like, relationships, I think, is probably my strongest thing, all the way down to Bill. Like, I penetrate relationships very well, and I don't know why, because I grew up as a very introverted person that didn't talk to anybody.
Mm.
But people have always trusted me. And so people tell me stuff that I probably shouldn't know sometimes, but it also doesn't leave.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's just
lock and key.
Yeah. And so I've always earned trust fast. And so I'm finding that like, that's actually like my biggest skill.
Mm.
So that's why I need to do less work because I need to go meet more people to create more opportunity.
Yeah. No doubt. Dude.
So that's my 5%, if you will, as far as the 80-20 rule, the thing that Justin Prince said, where,
yeah,
you know, find the 5%. Like, it needs to be meeting people.
Yeah. So what's the other 9 takeaways, bro? There's one. No, I'm
just kidding. Hey, it has been a lot of amazing people, members, and then speakers, and just everybody in this community has been really cool, man. Just kind of. Just to kind of hear you talk about Adam and then Justin and Shannon. Yeah. Like, well, I mean, I'm just like, because like we're just figuring it out. Like, this first year, we're just like, we're bringing cool people. We know the table, but and we're getting more structured and dialed and as we go. But dude, it's been really cool to see what it's done.
What's crazy is, like, we're talking about my superpower. I just was at Justin's house yesterday. That's cool. Like, you see him on it's cool.
Yeah.
You know, they're all everybody.
I don't know if I would call it a house, bro. I'd call it his hotel.
Yeah, chateau. We'll call it
a chateau.
Know.
Yeah, like a estate.
You were at his estate. Yeah,
that place was nice.
Yeah,
but
did you guys go up in his little office up there? Not little. It's a decent size office, but that's where we have a little powwows, man. It's freaking awesome.
The guy is just such a good person. Like, I complimented his house. He's like, didn't start out this way, man. I was like, I know. That's what I love about it. Like, so it's just. Everybody's just a human being, and so I really just, you know, that's what's really cool. Even Wes was, like, in California, like, you know, Tony would go up to him and talk to him. He's like, I never knew that successful people were so nice.
Well, to be honest with you, masterminds and stuff like that for us made the individuals that we put on a pedestal human beings.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, it made it real that, like, anybody could do it, right? And that's really what's important, because we have these bias that we can't do it. They're special, or they're different, or whatever. That's not the case. And that's one of the many great things about masterminds, is just realizing that, man, if I actually really discipline myself and put in the work, this can happen for me too. Right. Justin's, it wasn't always like this. We heard his story, sitting in a car crying, right? Yeah. Like, hoping that one day he'd be successful. Now he has an estate that you can visit.
Yeah, and then he spit free game to Riley. And it's like, Riley, dude, that
listen that the advice, hell up. Yeah.
I was like, that was gold.
Yeah. People pay lots of money for shit like
that's
that.
That's what I told him.
Yeah, no doubt. So if somebody wants to connect with you, or they're in the design rap business.
Or want to get in it.
Yeah.
Are you helping people get in it?
I haven't really done anything as far as getting people into it.
You're helping people level up.
But I just help people in general with business. Because, I mean, most of my business with people is with business to business.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'm in a weird sector of the advertising space where we, you know, use people's vehicles and whatnot as a form of advertising.
Yeah.
But so if I see, like, somebody doing something, I try to help them out always.
Yeah.
Just through the stuff that I've learned.
You guys are nation. Like, if somebody wanted to decorate their hallways, like us,
honestly, I mean, Tris been telling me about it the whole time, and I'm like, dude, sounds cool, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was gonna make that, like, that big of a change when you walked in. The coolest thing is
your team's response.
It does feel different, you know. Yeah. So
it's a whole different vibration, frequency, whatever you want to call it. The energy that puts off, the positivity, like, it's just unique. It's different. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know. So, hit up our dude. And, you know, get all your walls done in some badass, positive, cool shit. Create an environment that's great for your people. You know what I mean?
We're actually doing, like, a thing in December. We're going to push, just because we just finally landed on our core values even, you know. So I was like, you know, why are people not, like, actually posting them amongst the team, you know? Mm-hmm. These people say they have core values, but where are they at?
Yeah.
Yeah. We probably should have hit harder on core values, dude. I just figured it was so based
that
everyone had, you know, core values. Yeah.
There will
be. I'm saying in the mastermind. Because I thought it was just like, everybody's got core values, you know, is kind of what I figured, right? Like, you sometimes assume that what you have is so basic.
Standard.
It's just standard, right?
You hear it all the time in the communities we're in. But
and then you don't want to be so basic to other people.
Not everybody has it, bro, because they're actually hard
to
live by. They're so simple.
Yeah.
Hard. Everything that's productive in life is really quite simple, but it doesn't mean they're easy.
Yeah, right? Hard in execution.
So when you set living core values, not to just look cool, not to just say, yeah, these are core values, but, like, really trying to live by them.
Hire by them, fire by them, live by them.
Everybody might know about them, but they don't know how to actually really
execute,
implement them.
Yeah.
What's cool is they're a compass.
They're what?
They're a compass.
Yeah. It shows you your true north 100% of the time. If you're ever second guessing, should I keep this person? Should I? Values. Oh, they got to go.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, whatever it is, right? Yep. So
And that's the idea, is to always have a mission and values to give you the direction that you need when you're at those moments. Look, you got that tug of war. What should I do? Refer here. That'll tell you whether you're on the right path or what to do in that moment.
Yeah. Everybody should splash them on the walls. When this episode launches, we'll retag the hallway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People can hit you up.
Yeah, hell yeah. How do they
look at our stories.
So basically our Facebook, I don't have an Instagram for the company. So it's just, I am not Brent, KNOTTBRENT. Somebody for some reason took the main one. So
I am Brent not.
Yeah. So
mine too, dude.
So yeah. I am not Brent on Instagram is my personal page. You can get me there. And then Facebook, it's just Brent Knott. And then the company page is Design It Wraps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, make sure you reach out to him if you have questions about the episode. This individual, dude, whether you give yourself credit or not, you do have a wealth of knowledge business-wise. I think you're way more humble than you give yourself credit for in terms of the level of knowledge that you have stored in between those two ears. So reach out to him, connect with him, make sure you're rating and reviewing the show. Guys, we hope you enjoyed it. Till next week, keep kicking ass.
Peace.